Man, I'm so blessed. I just can't see, but I'm so blessed that we're here today. And I just want to get into this, man, amazing time in worship. And, you know, we just, I love where we're at. We just say, no matter how many people come in, man, we're here to worship God and we're here to give a level of excellence. And just, I'm telling you, I'm so excited about this morning in this word and in this series called, But As For Me. And I love that it just brings it down to me. My relationship with God. Who am I in him? Who is he to me? And you come to this place, to walk in this place through scripture. We've covered 2 weeks already from Joshua 24. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And just kind of dove into that for a couple weeks. And then I'm excited about this morning because it really comes down to we're going to talk about prayer this morning. And what does it really look like? Even from Isaiah, from Psalm 69, really, what does it look like when you really come to the place? But as for me, and you dive in, church. We could, man, I love to talk about prayer. We could talk about prayer for 2 months and just touch the surface of what it means to really connect with God through prayer. This is what I love is when you begin to identify. There's a passage that I'm going to go to in Exodus 19 that gives us this picture of God. And I love how he sets up scripture. All through scripture, he gives us these amazing pictures that should blow our minds. Like literally like, oh, like that's God. That's who I talk to. That's the one that leans in to hear what I have to say. That's our God who, and again, I'm going to explode this picture in Exodus 19 to be a reminder is when we do pray, when we do actually cry out, and what is it that we would take our prayer seriously? Like how much do we get on our face before a holy God? How much do we spend time? And I'm not talking about the Cheerio prayers, man. I'm talking about, man, I know who you are. And I know your excellence and your grandeur and your majesty. And oh, I can't wait. It is such a desire to get on my face to know that you're the one that's leaning in and hearing my heart and hearing my cry and hearing my praise and hearing me honor you. Like, what does your prayer life look like? And some of you say, man, it's just, you know, I have this amazing connection. I do have my morning time and I do have, you know, it's this constant thing even throughout the day. I have my concentrated on my FaceTime. And then there's just this great commune between me and the Lord throughout the day and just always in constant communication. And that's powerful. I think that's the way it should be. When the Bible says pray without ceasing, we and I think there's this moments of posture. We're going to get into it. There's moments of posture where you see Daniel and you see David and you see people, they do fall on their face before God. And it's just their normal time of praying. And it's on their knees and it is in posture and it is with hands raised. And there's this posture to our prayer, but then there's the praying without ceasing. And that is whether we're in the car, or whether we're at work, or we're really just asking God for wisdom in the moment. God, I don't know what to do in this. What do I do? And just this constant revolving prayer. Or, unfortunately, we've just been too busy. Or it's like, well, I never really tapped in to praying because I'm so used to having a conversation with somebody that's right in front of me. It's an easy conversation, but it's kind of, and maybe it is, maybe it's kind of a little strange to just pray and it's just me in the room and I don't even know if God's there and I don't even know if he's listening and I really don't spend time on my face and just, I don't know where your prayer life is, but I know this, the Bible calls us to pray. And I know this, that when you get the proper picture of who we're actually crying out to and by which name we pray in Jesus' name, there is power and there's authority. And the God of all power and might, he hears us. He leans in to hear what we have to say. There's many times that we talk about prayer for good reason, because it's a big deal for us who follow hard after Christ. It's a big deal to walk in communication with the Lord. It's a big deal to spend our time in his presence at home during the week. It's a big deal to get past the Cheerio prayers. God, thank you for the breakfast. Amen. Talk to you tomorrow. It's a big deal to press in and just understand what this looks like to cry out to God, not because we have to, because there's such a desire to connect and there's such a desire to know, God, you're serious about this and you hear me. And you come to this place to understand what that really looks like. And you drop into this place, it says, but as for me, oh Lord, my prayer. And you come to a place to say, I'm not going to worry about this person's prayer life, and I can't worry about that person's prayer life. But man, when all the walls are crashing in, you know what I need to worry about? I need to worry about my prayer life. And do I really trust God that he hears what I'm saying? Come on, let's just pray. Let's get into this. I'm so excited for this morning. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for these moments. God, thank you for our worship. You so rightfully deserve to be celebrated and honored and adored. And we love you, Jesus. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. Father, you're amazing and you're almighty and all powerful. We love you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for redemption. Thank you that we can have just free access to you. At any moment, we can just cry out to you and be in your presence. It's amazing. We love you. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Come on, turn to Psalms 69. Find a spot. Put something there. And then we're going to go over to, right now we're going to go over to Exodus 19. Because I want to show you this picture of Exodus 19. It's just an incredible picture. I love this. This is right before 10 Commandments. We're coming down. Exodus 20 gives us the Ten Commandments, and we see this, and this is Moses and Aaron, and they're going up on a hill to get the Ten Commandments in here, but God does something pretty amazing in Exodus 19 before we get to the Ten Commandments. And I just want to show you this, because when you begin to read these things like this, and you talk about prayer, this is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. God hasn't changed. It's not a different God from Old Testament and New Testament. It was not a different God that spoke to Moses on a mountain from the same God who speaks to you and I today. Same God. And when you begin to see these amazing pictures and these amazing stories that are true stories that God gives us from his word, man, I read this and I'm just like, oh, like this is God who I cry out to. This is the one who actually is listening to me when I pray. Again, you come down to the seriousness of, well, how much actually do we press in? I mean, how much is our faith really enacted? We really understand what it means to really cry out to God and spend time on our knees and spend time praying. If you're single, praying over not being single one day and really what your spouse is going to be like and really being ready for your spouse and ready for your job. And if you're a teenager, just really on your face and you're begging God, God, let me be a difference maker to those around me. Let this generation know that you are real and that you are alive in me. And what does that look like day in and day out as a teenager? That you're pressing in to God on your and not making it about you, but really about the generation that is all around you. What if you're married, and how much time do you really seriously press in and cover your wife and cover your children day after day after day and cover your marriage, and then you're covering your husband and you're praying for your husband as a mom's heart, praying for your kids from a mother's heart, and you believe, God, you're hearing me. Church, we got to please hear this. We've got to get past, even in 2019, we've got to get past the Cheerio prayers and come to this place to really press in and understand what it really means to really let go of so much. I just don't have time. Well, I want to show you a picture this morning that just, it drops me to my knees to say, God, I have time for you. First, because you had time for me on a cross. And all that you've done for me, Am I seriously too busy to connect with the one who's given me breath? Did you realize we breathe because God says we can breathe? Do you realize that if you wake up tomorrow, God said you could wake up tomorrow? That's who we serve, a God who's in control. And when you begin to magnify God and begin to realize just how grand he is and how amazing he is, I'm telling you, church, when you understand that relationship, man, it drives you to your face. To just want to have communion with him and want to talk with him and want to cry out to him. And it's not what this person does, and it's not, well, that person prays 2 hours a day. There's no way I can do that. I'm not looking at your 2 hours a day. I'm looking at, where's your dedication to honestly just come to a place to really press in, to really go before God and really come to a place to know, God, there's this connection in prayer this morning, and God, I know that you heard me. And then you press in again, and then you press in again, and then you press in again. And then you begin to see God's hand begin to move. And it motivates you to press in again, and it motivates you to press in again, and just I love this, but this is a picture of the one that we cry out to, and it sets up in Exodus 19. It sets up where this is after God has freed him from Egypt, and he tells Moses, like, listen, I need all of the people of Israel to hear me, and I'm actually gonna come down to you, which is just crazy in the thought of that. But Moses, this is how it's gonna go. We're gonna go to the mountain, and I'm gonna descend onto the mountain, and it's just gonna be this cloud of smoke, and I'm gonna show up as fire, and there's gonna be thunder, and but this is the deal, Moses. Nobody can touch the mountain or they'll die. Like, this is just, when you read this, you're like, what's the point? Like, if anyone just, I'll test it. Zinc, like, don't test that. He made it very clear. Moses, this is what I want you to do. I want you to come and bring everybody, because I want to speak. I want to speak to everybody. And I love it because he speaks to Moses, and then Moses speaks to the people. He speaks to Moses, and then Moses speaks to the people. He speaks to Moses, and then Moses speaks to the people. And he speaks to Moses this time and said, Moses, you gather the people because I want to speak to the people. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, but here's the guidelines. Here's the ground rules. When I show up, nobody's allowed to come up the hill. When I show up, nobody's put up boundaries. This is real. Like, you got to make it known. Nobody can even touch the mountain or they will die. So Moses sets it all up. And then we look at Exodus 19. And here we go, verse 16. This is incredible. So it came about on the third day when it was morning, and there was thunder and lightning flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain. And a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. I love this. To meet God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain, of Mount Sinai, and was all in the smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And then its smoke ascended like a smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. And when the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. And the Lord came down on the Mount Sinai and to the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord spoke to Moses, go down, warn the people so that they do not break through and break through to the Lord and gaze, and many of them would perish. And he's talking about don't touch the mountain. So we get this picture here, and this is a very real event, man. This happened when you see God saying, Moses, I'm coming down, but I'm going to descend upon the mountain. Could you imagine what this scene looks like when there's this thick cloud of smoke and there's this fire that comes down and God's in the midst of this fire? And then all of a sudden, we believe that these trumpet sounds are, and we see all through scripture that when there was this announcement to be made, or there is an entrance to be made, these angelic beings would blow these trumpets. And could you imagine what is going on, that this right here is the very God that we cry out to, that when he says, listen, you just look at earth, right? This ball that's in the sky amongst this enormous, untouchable universe that we can never find the end to. And God says, I'm just going to show up on this mountaintop, on this ball that's in the sky that I created called earth. And I'm going to show up for a specific group of people at a specific time. And I'm going to show up, and man, I'm going to come, and it's going to be this amazing, amazing show. There's going to be smoke. There's going to be fire. There's going to be trumpet sounds, and they're going to grow louder and louder and louder. And man, when you see this picture of how grand and majesty and excellent and powerful our God is, that he, watch this now, he chose to say, I'm coming to you. What? Got all of that so that you could come to us? And you see this, and you see there's angels involved in this, and there's thunder and lightning involved in this, and there's a thick cloud, and there's trumpets, and there's smoke, and there's this, the whole mountain. Church, the whole mountain begins to shake violently. And this is the God that today when we worship him and today when we cry out to him, he tells us, Sean, the same God, I actually lean in to hear what you have to say.
What?
Church, what happens when you get a true picture of the very one that we cry out to? The very one that says, listen, I'm listening. I'm hearing you. So, you know, in all this, honestly, how much time do we actually spend before our God? Before the God who shows up in thunder, for the God who shows up in lightning, the God who shows up in fire, the God who, when he shows up, the mountain shakes violently. But he was very clear. You can't come near. This is huge, church. Don't miss this. Because Old Testament, when you understood the reality of what it was to go into the temple, where the high priest would have to go into the temple and have to go behind this curtain wall, and only he would be able to go into the actual presence of God and begin to declare and sacrifice for the sins of all the people. And if there was, and watch this now, if there was anything that went wrong, they had to have a rope tied around this high priest or the chief priest, because he would be dead in the presence of God, and they'd have to not able to go in, but they'd have to pull his body from the rope. God was serious about, nope, you can't come near. Don't let anyone touch the mountain or they'll die. Listen, Moses, he tells him a couple times, I'm serious about, you need to set up a gate so they can't come near the mountain. And then we see, look at Psalm 69, we see this. Where you've got, this is a Psalm of David, and David is just going through it right now. He's going through some serious family issues. He's going through so many people that have turned against him. And when he understands the true picture of who God is, and David is a man after God's own heart, and you see in 69 verse 1, this is what he says. He says, save me, O God, from the waters that have threatened my life. For I have sunk into deep mire, and there is no foothold. And I've come into the deep waters, and the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying and my throat. Look at where he's at. This is King David, man. This is David at a place where he's got so many coming against him. He's got so many people that are just trying to take him out and trying to take his throne. And this is his position. This is where I am weary from my crying. Like when he's saying he was weary, he just means, oh, I'm tired. No, he's completely wasted, worn down, completely out of the picture. David is finished here. And look at how far he goes. He says, I'm weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Those who hate me without cause are more than the hairs of my head. And those who would destroy me are powerful, being wrongfully my enemies. For what I did not steal, I then have to restore. Verse 5 says this, O God, it is you who knows my folly, and my wrongs are not hidden from you. I love where David gets it, that he can be transparent with God. So I think one of our major mistakes, church, is that we're not transparent with God. When you really understand the God that descended on that mountain, he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing God, he knows everything. He knows everything you've done, he knows everything you're doing now, and he knows everything that you're ever going to do, because he's God. Why wouldn't we just be clear with God, because he sees it anyways, and come to this place to be transparent with God? I think that right there could be breakthrough for so many if we came to a place to honestly just be transparent. Just to come like David comes. God, it is you who knows my folly, verse 5, and my wrongs are not hidden from you. And then look at verse 13. So the idea here is he's struggling, and he's got so many coming against him. He's got enemy upon enemy, more than the hairs are on my head. And then he comes and he lands on verse 13. He says this, but as for me, here it is. I've got all of this crazy going on. I've got all of what's taking place in my life. And I've got all of these things. And I've been wrongfully accused. And he's just going on and he's going on. And he is at this place of being so worn down and crying so much that his throat is parched. And then I love where he lands on this, church. He lands right here in verse 15. But as for me, I'm not looking over here. I'm not looking over here. He says, but as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time. O God, watch his identification here. This is great. O God, in the greatness of your loving kindness, in the greatness of your loving kindness here, it means your goodness and your mercy. In the greatness, God, I know that your mercy is great. It is beyond anything that I could imagine. God, I know that you are a good God. You are a great God. And in your greatness, in your great loving kindness, there is mercy and there is goodness. Isn't it amazing? Watch this, that when we do come to this place to understand that powerful prayer life, we do understand that posture matters and our face before him, giving that time that is so necessary, that we come to this place and say, God, I know that you are great. I know, same God that descended on that mountain, same God that you can cause a mountain to shake violently. God, same God, I can come to you. And God, I know that your greatness of your mercy and your good. Why would we ever be in fear to be transparent? To come to God and just share our hurts, share our angers, share our concerns, share our joys, share our praises. And watch this. He says, but as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time. O God, in the greatness of your loving kindness or your mercy or your goodness, answer me with your saving truth. I love this because the word truth here, we covered it just a little bit a few weeks ago. It means reliability. It means loyal. It means faithful. It means sure. That when you understand, God, I can come to you and I can just share my heart with you. God, I'm struggling. God, I'm hurting. God, I'm on the highest of high. God, thank you for where I'm at. God, and you come to this place. What does our prayer life look like when we're coming before God, whether in a great season or whether in a difficult season, to know, God, one thing that I can bank on is, God, that you are true. God, you are faithful. God, you are sure. God, I can trust in you 100% because I know who you are. And in your greatness of your loving kindness, you are good and you are merciful. Like, what happens when we come and we land right here to say, God, I can't look over here and I can't look over. God, it's time to focus. And it's time to get real about our time before his presence personally. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we come to this place to reflect and pray and cry out to God, to know, God, this is, I see you as this is who I cry out to. Watch this. I love this. He says, oh God, in the greatness of your loving kindness, answer me with your saving truth, with your loyalty, with your faithfulness, that God, you are firm. I can trust in you. And he says this, deliver me from the miry and do not let me sink. May I be delivered from my foes and from the deep waters. May the floods of water not overflow me, nor the deep swallow me up, nor the pit shut its mouth on me. And then verse 16, answer me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. According to the greatness of your compassion, turn to me and do not hide your face from your servant. I mean, this is deep. This is real. Look what he says. He says, answer me. God, I'm crying all this out to you. And David tells us so many times in the Psalms, God, incline your ear to me. I know that you hear me. And I know that you're leaning in. But he says, listen, God, answer me, O Lord. For your loving kindness is good. According to the greatness of your compassion, turn to me. And do not hide your face from your servant. For I am in distress. So answer me quickly. And he says this, I love this. Oh, draw near to my soul and redeem it. Church, what happens when you know the closeness of our God? What happens when you know maybe in the Old Testament you couldn't come to that place to go to the mountain? You couldn't come to that place to really be in his presence, or it could strike you down. But watch this. I need you to hear this because this is so good. When you come to the place, the New Testament now, there's something that was significant that took place with Christ on the cross. And when Jesus gave his life for us, something changed. God didn't change. I want you to see this because this is huge. You see this picture that took place where Jesus gives his life on a cross for you and I. He's put into a grave. And then this amazing thing begins to take place when we understand that when Jesus was resurrected, we understand that Jesus becomes our intercessor for you and I. That Jesus now sits at the right hand of the Father. When we begin to cry out in his name, Jesus, then intercession, it's a type of prayer. There's praying and then there's interceding. Isn't it amazing that we have an advocate in Jesus Christ who does intercede on my behalf and on your behalf? And then you come to this place, it's just this amazing thing that took place that to understand well what happens when the Bible says that we can draw near to him. And that he would draw near to us. You see, when Jesus was on the cross, this is huge. Don't miss this. Because the Old Testament was, listen, you can't go into his presence. You can't go near him or you would die. Moses, nobody can touch him out. I put on this amazing display of my majesty, my excellence, and my power, and my might. Moses, the smoke and the fire and the whole mountain was just shaking violently. And then these angels and their trumpets sound, and it got louder and louder. But don't, you can't touch the mountain. No one's allowed up to my presence. You see, something took place when Christ was on the cross. The Bible says that veil that was in the temple that separated the people from God's presence. Was torn in two. And I love this because when you've heard me say so many times, where is this thing personal for you? When does it become so personal to you that God would put on flesh in his son, Jesus Christ, and put himself on a cross for you and I, that we would know him and that we would be able now to be in relationship with him? That we would come to a place to know, man, the truth is that when I do draw near to you, God, it is even different from the Old Testament because now I'm welcomed and invited directly into your presence, for that veil has been torn. That deep wall that was separated from me to you is now, because of Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, because of what took place in that, I have complete free access at any moment that I would cry out to you, knowing that I can be welcomed in your very presence. But church, do we tap into that? Honestly, do we tap into that and understand the very God who descended on the mountain and says, listen, watch. And the veil was just ripped in two to say, listen, come to me. That's an open invitation. That there is no longer a barrier between us and his very presence. How much time are we spending with Almighty, all-powerful God? How much time do we just honestly pray for our meals and call it good? Or do we really go deeper than just, okay, it's time to pray, and okay, I'll do my morning prayers, and it's the same prayers all the time. What is it that I love when you go into even David and his praying? He prayed the problems. He cried out what was directly on his heart in that moment. He didn't just go down this list, okay, I got to pray for Grandma Jones, and then I got to pray for Grandma this one, and then I got to hit this person. It's okay to pray for people. Please hear that. But if it's just a list, What happens when you know that your neighbor is struggling? What happens when you know that somebody at work has gone through the most difficult season in their life and you know about it? What happens in these moments that you're just struggling and you're covering your family and somehow, some way, you ditch the list that you've done every day for your whole life and then it's time to make it personal. God, actually, I don't want to pray for Grandma Jones today. God, I need to pray for my neighbor. God, I need to pray for this person I'm working with. God, that you would show up in their life. That Father, today, you'd open the door for me. Maybe today is the day that I can share my story. God, and what happens, church, when a prayer life goes off of the list and goes into heart and goes into a place to say, listen, God, I need to come to this place to cry out, man, I'm doing this and I'm struggling here. And God, you know that there's this sin in my life. And God, you know what's going on in this area. And oh, God, my marriage or my kids or God, that you would just pour out your favor on. And then you come to a place at any age, teenager, young adult, single, married, you're in a place where you're just like, God, I just need you to move. And I'm crying out to you for this person. I'm crying out to you for that person. What happens? You really come to the place to say, but as for me, God, I have no excuse. The veil's been torn and I have just free access to your presence. Or are we really that busy? We really can't get up that much earlier to presence of God. Say, God, that you would do this. I'm here to spend time with you because I love you. God, this is my heart today. This is where my heart is. This is where my mindset is. God, this is where my emotions are today. Wouldn't it be amazing, honestly, if we could kick that list that we prayed over every single time, and it's the same way, and it's the same prayer, and it's the same people, but we actually would come before God with heart. Say, God, let's do this different today. This is where I'm struggling, and this is where I'm hurting, and this is where I'm broken, and this is, man, God, let me have an end with this person. God, I know that they're lost, and I don't know where their salvation is. God, I know they're even sick, God, and I don't know how much time they have. God, open the door for me. Father, I know that you hear me. Church, what happens when we come to a place to rearrange our prayer life that it becomes so personal? God just beginning to move when you see this expectation that just begins to boil in your heart and your spirit and your soul. Say, God, well, I can really come to you and expect that you're hearing me and expect that you'll answer me and expect that maybe there'll be an open door, maybe today, if not today, maybe tomorrow. But God, and then you begin to see your husband and you begin to see your wife and you begin to see your kids in a new way that you've covered them. God, give me grace today for my wife. God, give me grace today for my kids. God, draw my son back to you. And you begin this whole different, deep, personal prayer life. And it's on purpose to believe the absolute truth that, God, when I cry out to you, God, you hear me. If we could all just pray right now, and isn't it amazing that we have a God who would hear every single one of us in our time of prayer this morning at the same time? And amazing that you could go across the globe to the millions and millions that are praying at this hour on a Sunday or whatever time there is on their Sunday, and God hears every one of us who truly belong to him. Isn't that amazing that we have a God who's that great and he's that big, and there's nothing difficult for him? There's nothing difficult for him. If he can come down and shake a mountain, God can do all things. God can do all things. Let's just pray. And I hope that when you begin to go to God, you have this different picture. Father, we cry out to you and to know that you are amazing and you are great. We don't just say that you're great. God, you can descend in smoke and fire with trumpet sound. And God, you can shake a mountain. That's who you are. God, you can speak creation in 6 days. God, that's who you are. God, you're amazing. And I thank you so much that we have free access to your presence. And our good and our bad and our ugly, we can just come to you Father, I pray over every person in this place today. God, everyone online, God, that they would just come to a place. God, I want my prayer life to be different, God. I want to connect with you in my time of conversation with you, God. I want this to be so personal, God, to know that you hear me. I cry out to you, God, and that you hear me. God, help us to not pray the same. But as for me, you don't need to pray like this person. You don't need to pray like that person. You don't have to have the words that this person says. You don't have to look at the people online and pray like your favorite preachers. But as for me, God, this is just personal. This is just me and you. Just me and you, God. Be different. In the name of Jesus. Come on, amen.